in Hebrews chapter 4, every time we sing that song, I always think of this passage. It says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." When Jesus on the cross said, "It is finished," it didn't just mean that he had died. It meant that every work that he was sent to accomplish was done. And I can guarantee you today that whenever you are facing things in your life and you just begin to say the name of Jesus, I can guarantee you that every devil in hell remembers when Jesus walked down into the depths of the earth and he began to set the captives free, and he walked out of there swinging the keys of death, hell, and the grave around his finger. They remember. But not just that, I can guarantee the host of heaven, when Jesus walked in there with the vial of his blood and he was marching down that road in heaven, Josh, and he was taking his blood and his own blood, and he was going to sprinkle it on the mercy seat. And that means anything that we face, anything that we go through, friend, I want to tell you today, it is already finished. And when you speak his name, I can guarantee you, you don't have to wait for a feeling. Aren't you thankful for that? Glory to God. I don't have to wait to feel nothing. It is done and it is finished. Amen. I am so thankful for that. You better sit down before I get Pentecostal. Miss Bonnie, do we got a microphone?
My name, Jesus, is sanctified and it is set apart for a purpose. But you see, I left heaven to bring what is in heaven to the earth.
Amen. Yes.
That's how powerful my name is.
Yes.
I remind you, it is sanctified, which means my name is set apart for healing.
Amen.
And I am here this day, this hour, to manifest that healing.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. I tell you what, if you are here today and you're sick in your body or whatever you may be facing today, I hope that you'll receive that word that was just gave to you today. It's set apart. I like that. It is set apart. It is sanctified. Amen. Well, I know it's not all about feeling, but it's good to feel. Amen. Knows your feeler ain't broke. Amen. Thank you, worship team. Aren't you thankful for all of our staff that just volunteers their time and all of their efforts? I want to say it's good to have my family, my mom and my dad and my youngest sister and my niece and nephew, Wesley and Haley Kate. They're down from Bentonville. That's a long ways to drive just to come hear me preach. Now they're here for other reasons. But anyways, it's good to have them with us today. And it's good to have you. And if you're here and you're a visitor, we just want to make you feel welcome. And we're glad you're here. And home folks, if you see a visitor, don't just run out the door. Go shake hands with them and let them know that you're glad that they're here. Amen, because we are glad that you are here. Well, we had vacation Bible school this week. And all the workers said, amen, we had it. But if you helped in any capacity, would you stand, please? Any capacity at all, whether you were security, kitchen crew. And I want you to remain standing. And I felt impressed to do that. But in the book of Matthew 18, I won't keep y'all standing. Jesus said this, "Whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven." So would you stretch your hands towards these people? And we want to pray a blessing over them for everything that they did, all the efforts that they did out for the kingdom. And I want you to agree with me on this, that this is not just ceremonial. This is not just a nice thing to do. This is what we are agree is going to happen over their life. That they're going to be the head and not the tail. They're going to be above and not beneath. Everything that they touch their hands to is going to prosper. Father, that you're going to bless them financially. You're going to bless them in their health. You're going to bless them, Father, in the things that concern them, and you're going to perfect it according to your word. And Father, we just know that you saw every effort, you saw everything that they did this week, Father, and you're going to honor it, and you're going to bless it, and we thank you for it. And we all agree, and we say, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, you may be seated. And when you prayed that, I hope you believed it. I believe it, and I believe we're going to see the dividends of that. And also in our children. And I thought, you know, it's so funny at Vacation Bible School because, you know, kids are, they're something else. And I thought, you know, it was so funny. I kind of got repositioned. I was working in the Bible room and I got moved around to help in an area. But I got to be with the kindergartners and the first graders. And I tell you, I got to noticing that... it's just, when you tell them to be still, even when they get quiet, they can't just help just like shake their leg or, you know, twiddle their hands. They just can't help it, you know. And I thought, you know, when I was a kid and you went to Vacation Bible School, you know, you were kind of met at the door by, and y'all probably all went to church with Sister Bertha better than you. And she just couldn't wait to light some kid's world on fire, you know, if you got out of line. But, you know, you can't do that nowadays so much, but that, I just thought it was so funny that even though you were telling them to be still, even if it was just moving their finger, they just couldn't help but just move. And, of course, it's funny, and but it was such a blessing to get to see that, to see those kids because, you know, in their mind, you know that they're, you know, a lot of things are running through their mind, but you're believing that they're going to latch on to something, not just something, but they're going to latch on to the truth of God's word inside of their life. And there's something that they got last week that they're going to take with them all the way through adulthood. And Rachel, gosh, we are so blessed. And Dylan, thank you guys for heading that up for us. I told Miss Karen Wilkins, I said, every Vacation Bible School, I get a refreshed respect for children's ministry every time. I thank God that he did not call me into children's ministry every day. But I told her, I said, I don't know how you do it. She's done it for 40 plus years. God bless her and Miss Marilyn and all those up there. But I thought about kids and they were fidgeting. You know, the kids are kids. That's what kids do. And they fidget and they move and they just, some were distracted. Some were being a distraction. I had a little buddy with me, and he just couldn't help but run. He just wanted to run. I told him, I said, stop. I told him all week, stop running. You've got to stop running. Well, he went into the restroom, and you know, kids, they do not clean up after themselves. Water in the floor. He's running. I don't have to tell you what happened. And he looked at me like, why didn't you tell me? I was like, I've been telling you. He started to cry. I said, don't even start. Don't even start. I told you all week to quit running. Life gave him a lesson of why you don't run in the bathroom. But I thought about that this week, and the Lord, of course, we know when you're a minister, everything you come to will preach. You can find something in there, but the Lord really caught my attention this week, and I'm going to title this message today, God's Talking, Am I Listening? Am I Listening? Because there are some times when we slip and fall in life, and a lot of times we'll say, God, where were you? And God's like, I've been talking, but you weren't listening. And there were two things that I noticed that they would do, and if y'all will just kind of indulge me on this, the teacher would say, and for those that know, they would say, 1, 2, 3, eyes on me. And they would reply, 1, 2, eyes on you. Can we do that? Everybody in unison? I'm going to say it. 1, 2, 3, eyes on me.
1, 2,
eyes on you. Okay, say it like you want an A+, okay? Ready? 1, 2, 3,
eyes on me.
1, 2, eyes on you. All right, you get an A+. Well, I think that's what God would say to us sometimes is when life is getting chaotic and life is getting busy, when he would say, 1, 2, 3, eyes on me, I need to be saying, 1, 2, eyes on you. God's talking, am I listening? And when we would get back together at the end of the day, Rachel, at some point, I believe this was every day, is the kids would be, and you know, kids are loud, and I understand all that, but she would whisper, if you can't hear me, you are being too loud. But she would whisper it. And you want to know who could hear? Those that were looking at her. And even though it was in a whisper, and as the room got quiet, and got real quiet and got quieter, even though she was whispering, everybody could hear what she was saying. And you could hear plainly what was being said. And I believe this, that there are times that God does speak to us, but sometimes our lives are so loud, we can't hear what he's saying. And we're going to talk today about quieting our lives. We're going to talk about calming our lives today and about getting quiet, not just so that we can be quiet, but so that we can hear what God is saying to us. And as I said, of course, as a minister, you know, most things you come to, they will preach. And I got to noticing that my age is kind of catching up with me just a little bit, because part of my job in when we went to the Bible room first thing in the morning was to sit in the floor. And it was one deal that we would do about jump up. I can't remember exactly, Miss Brenda. She was heading up our group, and we had to jump up when they said something. Well, I couldn't jump up that quick. And then my little buddy that was with me, he said, "Here, I'll help you up." And I just said, "I'm good right here."
Helping the elderly.
Helping the elderly. But I thought it was so cute. But we were sitting there, and I was just watching. And one of my favorite things to do is to observe people. I love observing people, especially, and I don't know why, but in sticky situations, I like to watch facial expressions and how people are responding. But I got to noticing in that class, day after day, there was lots of commotion. And like I said, the kids were fidgeting, you know, doing what kids do. There were a few that would just roll around on the floor, and you just had Miss Bridget was doing her best to kind of keep them, you know, focused. The 1, 2, 3 eyes on me, and I was, you know, that would get their attention. But there was just a lot of, I was just sitting there thinking, man, you know, back to the thank God I'm not called into the children's ministry and things like that. You know, that's all, but really, it's like this takes a special gift. In all seriousness, it's a very special gift to deal with children, because I grew up in the generation that if you got out of line, you knew exactly what was going to happen. And my father's here, and he can attest to that. My mom's here, and she can attest to that. And you know, I wasn't the exception. I was the rule. And I knew that if I got out of line, sometimes there were, honestly, there were moments that I thought I had a sign on my forehead that says, whip me, please. Because, I mean, I was just constant, not just by my parents, but even the teachers in class. I'm like, am I really that bad? But kids have been kids all down through time, and I realize you can't do those things anymore, or to a degree anyways. But there was a lot of commotion going on. But as I began to observe, I locked in, and I didn't get permission because I was late getting out here, and I hope it's okay if I use Elias this morning, Elias Ringhart. And there was a lot of commotion going on around, but I looked over, and Elias, I mean, was locked in on what Miss Bridget was saying. And he had kids on both sides of him that were just talking, picking at him, and it was almost like it didn't even exist. And I thought, this is it. The Lord started ministering to me. It's like there was a lot of commotion going on, and he wasn't letting the noise hinder him from listening, and he wasn't just hearing. You could look in his eyes, and you could tell he was receiving. He was receiving what was being said. His eyes and ears were hearing everything that Miss Bridget and Miss Barbara was saying in Bible class, and he would, if they said repeat after me, you could just see the enthusiasm on him, and I could look on his face and tell that he wasn't just hearing, he was receiving. And I got a witness on the inside of me, and I feel like it was the Lord. And it was on Wednesday whenever I began to look around, and I felt like the Lord spoke this into my spirit. He said, I'm talking, but everyone isn't hearing what I'm saying. There are times when people would say, this is what helped me, because a lot of times we'll look at God's word and say, well, God said. And I was praying one day, and I said, well, God, you said. And you know how when you're praying and the Lord can just cut you off? And he spoke this, I almost could not really hear it, but I could feel it, was these words, it's not what I said, it's what I'm saying right now. God is speaking to us every single day. And I'm not talking about just memorizing the Bible. We talked a few weeks ago, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago, about hearing is not receiving. Sometimes hearing is just hearing, but we need to hear and we need to receive what God's word is saying. But we're going to have to learn to start tuning out some of this chaos and some of this noise inside of our life so that we can hear what God is saying. In Revelation chapter 2, Jesus said it twice to John. He said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. Now, I know he said with what he saith to the churches. What do I do with my glasses? There you are. He said what the Spirit saith to the churches. But I looked at this morning, and I thought, this just highlighted to me, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. Selah. What the Spirit is saying. And I thought, I wrote these down. Well, most people have ears. But are they hearing what God is saying? And we can tell by the inconsistent fruit in their life that they are not. And I'm not talking about, there are times when we see people doing things and just off of a one-time judgment, we'll say, well, they're not a believer, but they just might have been having a bad moment. I'm not talking about judging people off moments. I'm talking about consistency, the consistent fruit in my life, not just one moment. But I looked at this in several different translations, and the one that stuck out to me the most in Revelations 2 and 7, it was in the Bible in Basic English. And it worded it this way, he who has ears, let him give ear to what the Spirit says. It's not what we are just hearing, but What are we giving our ear to? There was a famous speech, and man, y'all pardon me, I did listen in history class. I really did. Travis, I know you'll probably know this one. But it said something about, doing a speech, it said, lend me your ear. Countrymen, something, lend me your ear. Y'all remember that? Please, maybe somebody can inform me later. But I thought about when you lend someone your ear, I'm thinking about when I want to hear what the Spirit is saying to me, it's like I'm taking my ear off and I'm giving it to Him and saying, I want you to speak into my ear what I'm needing to hear. And because if you look, I didn't realize that give ear actually had a definition to it. Give ear actually means obviously to give attention, but it said to give favorable attention, to listen and to heed. This sounds like there's a possibility of tuning out the noise and giving favorable attention to what the Spirit is saying. Even though we are living, and I think we would all agree, in a loud, boisterous generation, if we are leaning in and giving our ear to the Spirit, we can hear clearly what He is saying to us. And I want to talk about that loud generation. And I thought, well, what's the difference between the generation we live in now and all the generations before? Because I think that probably, you know, the way we teach and preach against the dangers of social media, that there was probably one point in time where preachers were preaching against reading the newspaper. I mean, I'm just saying, there was probably, you know, it's kind of like, there was probably at one time where there was people preaching against kids doing the twist. And I bet there's a lot of people now wishes that's all they had to deal with was their teenagers doing the twist. But at one time, that was, you know, an awful thing, a terrible thing. But I thought, what is the one thing that separates the generations before from the generation that we're living in now? And it's a thing called social media, where everyone and anyone has a voice, and they're all talking. And I've said this a lot, and I think you'd agree with me, that social media has never made the lame walk, but it's made the dumb speak. Because everybody that can talk doesn't mean that they need to be talking. Do they have a right? Yes, they have a right to do whatever it is that they want to do. But just because you have a right doesn't mean that it's necessary. And I thought so many times, I rarely post opinions on social media because when I type it out, I'm thinking, well, I've never changed anyone's mind arguing with them or stating my opinion, ever. So it's like, I'll just look at people's pictures and just go on about my merry way. But I've learned that what makes us louder than any other generation is everybody has a podcast. Every view from life, I'm not saying I'm against them at all. It's not what I'm saying. I'm saying every view, any opinion, any topic, it doesn't matter if you want to hear about it. There's a podcast on it. There's a video on it. We're living in a time now where we can access our phones that we carry in our pocket, can access anything and everything that our mind wants to see, hear, and listen to. We are living, I believe, today in the loudest generation that has ever existed. But even in the loudness, God is still talking. And that there is a possibility of us hearing what He has to say. In 1 Kings chapter 19, we all remember this passage about Elijah, but I'll read it. You can go back and look at it later. And in verse 11 it says, and he said, go forth, God talking to Elijah, and he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountains, and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in the mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, and I'll stop right there. It wasn't in the strong wind, it wasn't in the earthquakes, it wasn't in the fires, but it was in a still small voice that God began to speak to Elijah. And Elijah heard what he said. God wasn't in the noisiness, he was in the still. That word still there, I'm not going to try to pronounce it. I will spell it so you know that I did my due diligence looking it up. D-A-M-A-M-A-H, which means quiet or silence or calm. And my mind always goes back to that when I think about this subject, because the Lord, and I guess I'm very passionate about this subject, is because I've noticed that even in my simple life, that sometimes things can get chaotic and it can get very loud. Did you know that even in your own life, that your checkbook can get really loud? It'll tell you, your checkbook will talk to you. Did you know that? It will tell you, you're broke or you're rich. There are things that will talk to you, and even if your life is simple, your life can be loud and boisterous, and if you let it, it can be very chaotic. But we have to learn how, and we're going to learn this here in just a minute, how do I begin to tune out all of this noise and all of this chaos and begin to lean in and listen to what the Spirit is trying to tell me? How do I hear what the Spirit is saying? Because we can talk about, yes, we need to hear what the Spirit is saying, but how do I do that? And I want to talk about that here for just a little bit. Do you have time today? Are you busy after church? Okay, so you got time, and if we learn something today, it's going to be worth our time, right? I've never heard anybody complain about a preacher preaching too short. So if this isn't very long today, that would probably be okay with you. But if it went on for an hour and a half and it changed your life, would it be worth your time? Sure it would. But let's look at how do I silence this stuff? Well, you know, it can be very easy just to say, well, you need to turn your phone off. That's pretty easy. And it'll work. You can't blame the phone. It'll turn off. Televisions. That was really a hot topic when I was growing up about television until I got under one of my mentors and he told me this. He said, you know, it's really hard to get on something that's got an on and off button. It's just up to us whether we do it or not. But what I want to get to is what is tempting you to feel the need to plug into all the chaos? You ever ask yourself that question? Why can I not, my phone's in the office, but why can I not seem to just, I can't. Have you ever just got on your phone and next thing you know, you're on social media? It's like, I didn't even intend to do this. I got on here to do something else. And I'm not blaming, and we're going to get onto this here in a minute. We got to quit blaming the devil for things he ain't doing. Was it Flip Wilson? Flip Wilson Show, I believe it was. He always had that famous saying, the devil made me do it. And that was a little before my time, but I watched Nick at Night. But he had that statement, the devil made me do it. The devil ain't never made nobody ever do anything. Dylan spoke here Wednesday night under the power of the Holy Spirit. The book of James said this. He said, when we are tempted, we got to quit saying we are tempted by God. And he went so, he didn't even say it, but he didn't even give a line there say, well, I'm tempted by the devil. He said, no, you're tempted by your own lusts. You're tempted by your own desires. And we're going to get into this here in just a minute, where all that came from. But it is simple enough to say turn it off, but yet what is influencing you to keep it on? There is something. I want you to hear me. 1, 2, 3, eyes on me. Okay. I want you to hear me. There is something influencing you to stay in the chaos. There is something influencing you to keep your mind rolling 100,000 miles an hour. And you know what? There's almost like when it comes to busyness and chaos, it's almost like we carry it like a badge of honor. I'm so busy. I'm so busy. And we look at people that are over here saying, man, I'm just going to do everything I can to just bask in the presence of the Lord. And sometimes we'll look at them as they're not ambitious enough. Man, look at what all you're missing out on. And whenever God's trying to bring peace and joy and rest inside of their life. Okay, most of the noise in our generation is from the temptation of the feeling that they need to be informed of everything going on, good and evil. Sound familiar? Can we go to Genesis chapter 3? There was a, was it the National Enquirer? Do y'all remember that? Is that still a thing? Y'all would admit to it anyways, would you? I remember the commercial. Inquiring minds want to know, and I want to know. That was the National Enquirer, and of course, you know, when I was a kid, even as a kid, standing in the grocery line and seeing that stuff, I'm like, do people really believe this stuff? Bo, I'm even 5 years old, and I was like, if people really believe this garbage, they are really in bad shape. And at five, I knew that that was misinformation. But let's go to Genesis chapter 3. It says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Now here's the first lie, is that word surely there actually means very suddenly. You're not going to suddenly die, but what he lied there was say, you're going to start the process of dying, and dying ye shall die, is what he was saying. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. Who's talking? The devil. What's he the father of? Lies. For God doth know, this is the devil talking, should have known. And you know, we'll look at old Adam and Eve and we'll say, boy, I tell you what, you know what? I don't know that I'd have done any different. You want to know the just honest to God truth about it? Yeah. I'm just saying, looking back on, it's always easy to look back and tell everybody else what they did wrong. That's a whole nother message. Yeah. Dylan, can I get a tissue, please? Thank you. In verse 6, it says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired, to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened. All of a sudden, they were aware. And they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. What's the first thing that happens? Shame kicks in. Imagine feeling shame for the first time. Going, what is this? And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees in the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid. Man, don't you know right there that God said, uh-oh. Because fear don't come from God. Now, there's a fear of the Lord, but I'm talking about tormenting fear that causes you to hide from God is not from God. But see, what made the Garden of Eden perfect was that all that they knew was the goodness of God. That's all they knew. But yet, If you look at this, Satan didn't need to erase the good. He just needed them to have knowledge of or aware and informed of the evil. Satan has never... That's a lot more groundbreaking than what you... The emotions I'm getting back from you guys. That right there alone was exactly what Satan wanted. It wasn't to try to make them do anything. He wanted to make them aware of what was going on. And he knew the awareness of the evil was going to produce chaos inside of their life. They knew it was going to bring shame. It was going to bring regret. He knew it was going to bring fear. And I'm telling you today, friends, that I see the greatest thing in the dangers of social media and the things that are going on today is that the body of Christ is feeling the need to share things that are evil and are of no good. All under the temptation that they were faced in the garden, you need to be informed. You can say amen or oh me. The need to be informed. You see, Satan has never made anyone do any... Now, again, I'm not saying there's not some valuable information to share. Okay? If there is a child molester in your neighborhood, I might want to share that with some of my friends and say, hey, you might want to watch your kids. I'm not saying there's not some things we don't need to share, but posting about things that you don't even know where the data came from, you don't know who the person was that wrote the article, it just... Something rose up on the inside of you, and I'm going to tell you what that is. That's the same influence from the Garden of Eden that Satan was saying, you need to be informed about everything that's going on. And spending that time in the chaos of that stuff rather than leaning in and hearing what the Spirit's saying. Because see, when I lean in and I hear what the Spirit is saying, I don't have to know what's going over here. And we're going to find that Psalms 91 will start coming alive to us when we lean in and we get so close to God, we're in His shadow. I don't have to know everything that's coming down the pike. I can look inside and say, God, I can find your goodness and no evil will befall me. We're going to get to that here in just a little bit. But Satan never made anyone do anything. He knew that all he needed was the legal right by man's will to inform them of evil, and man's natural heart would take it and run with it. All I've got to do is get a legal access into the earth and inform them of the evil and just sit back and just watch it go. This went from milk to meat real fast, didn't it? This went from VBS to, whoa, we're right here. And God's been saying all the time, I've been talking, but I'm going to tell you what, we've got so loud that people can't hear what I'm saying. We're so quick to share about what the devil's doing. Even growing up in church, and y'all can all probably testify to this, the testimony services never went about the goodness of God. It was about the devil was hot on their trail all week long. And I thought, man, you must be a really important person that the devil just spends all his time coming after you. And I want to tell some people sometimes, and I even tell this to myself, John, you're not that important. The devil's not after you every day. There are some things in your life that you have done on your own because you were informed.
Yes, that's right.
We were informed. We were aware. And I was one of those kids. If it was mischievous, I wanted to be right in the middle of it just because I shouldn't be doing it. I don't even know why that was such an enticing thing. Because the devil, he knew that the natural state of man's heart, all I have to do is inform him. All I have to do is make him aware of all the things that are going on. And you can go, we're talking about, it ain't the next verse over, we're talking about murder. We're talking about incest. We're talking about drunkenness. We're talking about idol worship to the point where God's saying, I regret that I ever made man. Yeah. And what was a peaceful and calm world in Eden immediately turned very loud and chaotic. I want to encourage you today, quit sharing garbage that you don't even know if it's true. Is that too pastoral? Is that too hard? Quit sharing stuff that you don't even know it's true. under the lie that people need to be informed. I'm going to tell you, this will be freedom for you. It'll be rest in your life. It will be help to you. And I know, I can tell by the looks on your faces, this is not what you want to hear today. But I can't come in here and scratch, and Pastor Susan or Dylan, Pastor Dylan, it's not our job to scratch your ears every week. We want to exhort and we want to lift up, but we also want to say, hey, there's some things we need to be paying attention to. And what happens under this, all these things that when Satan just uses the temptation in people's lives, you need to be aware. You need to be informed of all the chaos and all the things he comes in with this next big lie that he likes to put in man's ear. When the chaos and all the bad things starts happening in our lives because we are in the middle of the chaos ourselves, and we're not looking and we're not listening and we're not giving our ear to what the Spirit is saying, the next lie he comes in when the chaos kicks in is, where was God? Where was God? Well, God's been talking, but they weren't listening. If chaotic things have happened in my life, it's not because God's not good. It's because I wasn't listening to what the Spirit was saying. I wasn't giving my ear to what the Spirit was saying. Let's turn to Psalms 91. I might have to get my wife just to get the vehicle warmed up so I can make a mad dash out of here. And I'm not, some things are just, maybe it's just like God calling out warning, maybe ahead of time. Hey, it's okay to tell people to straighten up. I've been told to straighten up. That doesn't mean that they hate me. Matter of fact, when somebody calls out, it's really love. It's really love for us. And I know that, there's a lot of promises inside this. And I love Psalms 91, don't you? Yes. I love the promises in here. Let's start in verse 3. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. And we'll stop right there. Let's read verse 10. There shall no, now no means any, right? There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. And we read these promises, and they are great promises, but they are contingent upon verse 1. And this is what people say, well, and I know that sometimes we like to get analytical, and we say, well, David wrote this. But John wrote in his epistles that these men didn't write of their own private interpretation. They wrote as they were moved upon by the Holy Spirit. So David, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says this in verse 1, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow. I'm not talking about I know God's address. I'm in his shadow. Now, if you're in someone's shadow, you're pretty close. When they say 1, 2, 3, eyes on me, I can say 1, 2, eyes on you. When they whisper, if you can't hear me, you are being too loud. Did everybody hear that? You want to know why? You were listening. When you're in the shadow of somebody, everything else can be loud, but I can hear what they are saying. And I can quote those promises all day long, but David said this, it's under the contingency that I am living under the shadow of the Almighty. It doesn't make the promises not true. It just means if I'm going to walk in those truths, I have got to abide in His shadow. And people get so angry because they read all the promises in Psalms 91 and it seems that they aren't taking effect in their life. And they start asking questions, where was God? This is what He said. This was His promises and it didn't happen. But they're missing the key part about abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. His shadow, if I'm in His shadow, like I said, I can hear His whisper. I can, even if I can't quite hear, if I can get close enough, I can make out with your lips moving. I'm saying, I know what He's saying. I know what He is saying. And I can get used to His tone. Do you know that? Did you know that I've worked around Dylan enough now, I know when he's coming down the hallway? You know, I hear, he whistles while he's walking. He whistles while he's working. I don't have to ask who's in there working before I get around the corner. I know exactly who's in there. And I get to some points, even when, I'm not making fun of you, Dylan. I love you. I do. I love this guy. He's become a great friend of mine. But I even get to where you can hear footsteps. You're like, that's Pastor Susan. Or that's Jody. And you don't know what you did wrong. But you're about to find out. She's not here today. She might be listening. But it reminds me of this story. It was an account. And y'all know I listen to Brother Keith Moore quite a bit. But he talked, I've titled this Keith Moore and the Faith Lady. And it was back when he was working at Brother Hagin's ministries there. He was part of the healing school. And he said his first job was to work the phones. And he said, you know, I'm new. I don't know anything. And this lady calls and she got mugged, got hit over the head or something. And she was all distraught. And of course, he said in my head, I'm like going, Lord, you're going to have to help me. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. And she was all upset telling him what happened, that she got mugged, she got hurt. But she said, that's not the thing that's bothering me the most. And he said, well, okay, well, what is it? And she said, I'm a faith person. And she said, I quote Psalms 91 every morning. And she said, when he said no evil would befall me, how did this befall me? And you know, he said my first reaction was, good question. Good question. And I almost say this real quickly. I love when people come up to me with questions that I don't know the answer to because I've gotten a little bit more bold and I just say, I don't know. It's just, if you don't know, you don't know. Don't try to act like you know. I wanted to preach about faith isn't pretending again, but I'd already preached that about a month ago. But anyways, he, you know, in his head, anybody that has any kind of spiritual gumption at all about them, he begins to pray, Lord, help me. Help me right here, right now. And he said, I got a witness on the inside of me that said, ask her why she was over there. And he said, so I just said, well, he said, ma'am, I'm sorry for your troubles. He said, but can you just tell me, why were you over there? You know, in that part of town, why were you over there? And she said, you know, it's funny that you asked that because I got a check in my spirit that morning about not going over there. You see, God was talking, but she wasn't listening. And because, you know, God was trying to get to the point to where no evil would befall her. He was trying to put His angels in charge over her. He was trying to get her to where that 1,000 would fall at thy side and 10,000 at their right hand, but it wouldn't come nigh thee. He was trying to get her to that point, but if we're not going to listen to what God is saying, it doesn't mean that God's just going to come grab you by the shirt collar and make you go where you want to go. When people say, where was God? First thing I want to say, well, where was the devil? And the second thing I want to ask is, were you listening? When we start getting, we have to quit pretending that, and people just say, well, sometimes life happens. Yes and no. Sometimes there are direct attacks from the enemy. I do believe that. But I believe a lot of times there are things in our life that if we would have been listening to what I'm... Now, there's grace for this. Please understand what I'm saying. Please understand what I'm saying. I have not batted 1,000 on this, but there have been times in my life where I've been driving down the road and God said, don't go that way. I didn't get $1 million for going the other way. I don't know what happened, but I did know this, that the worst thing that was going to happen to me was I was going to waste a little bit of gas. But I've wondered so many times in our life when people say, where was God? And he was saying, I was talking, but your life has been so chaotic. You don't go to church. You don't get in the word. You don't get in communication with me. And then all of a sudden, things start happening. People start saying, where was God? And God was saying, I've been talking. I was one, two, three. Eyes on me. I've been talking. Don't get in condemnation over this. I'm saying let's lean into that life where we can hear what God is saying and let's keep that evil from befalling us. Let's keep those things that don't have to happen to us out of our life. You know, she would say, where was God at? He was saying, I was talking. And if she would have given her ear to what the Spirit was saying, she wouldn't have got knocked in the head that day. I'm pulling on Dylan. If you have any problems with this, you can email dylan@rccenter.org. You knew that was coming. Now, I know this went from milk to meat real fast, but here's the thing, guys. Do I want to walk in victory or do I want to walk in excuses? Whew, that's a tough one, Jesse, because I had asked myself that question before I presented it to y'all. Do I want to say, well, you know what? That's just life. What if it didn't have to be life? What if I gave my ear to what the Spirit was saying and that evil didn't have to befall me? Well, in verse 10, when it says no evil, or neither shall any, that means none. And people can say, well, are you telling me that you've never... Let me tell you right now. I'd hate to put on the screen right here of all the times I've missed the Lord. More than I would know, probably. I'm sitting here telling you right now, I probably haven't missed God no sooner than this morning. I mean, I'm not saying it's complete failure all the way around, but what if I could lean in? What if there is a life that I could lean in and I'm so close to God that I can smell what he had for lunch? And I can hear what he is saying to me and saying, don't go there today. Don't let your kids go to school today. Kids, don't get, well, I know it's summer now, but don't get excited and say, well, I heard a word from the Lord. It could be. I mean, I've heard stories about ministers canceling vacations and tsunamis hitting. Well, you know, when they first canceled it, the family's mad as a hornet. But when the tsunami hits, they're like, man, I'm glad he lended his ear to what the Spirit was saying. And when we say no evil will befall you, here's the thing. God's word is true or it's not. And I'm telling you right now, it's true. But if I fall short, it ain't God's fault. It ain't the word's fault. And I've had people ask me some tough questions. Why did God allow that? Not but just a couple weeks ago. And I just looked at him and I said, the only thing I can tell you right now is God's good. I said, I don't have all the questions to everything else. I knew what I wanted to say, but I didn't know if it ministered grace to the hearer at that very point in time. And when somebody's crying because they lost a loved one, it's not the time to start bashing people on the forehead. We need to have grace to know. We need to have grace to minister to those people that maybe at that point in time maybe don't need to hear harsh words. This is not what the gist of this message is. But I wanted to look into his eyes and say, hey, look at me. I don't know all the answers, but I do know this. God is good. And when it comes to, you know, God's not sitting and allowing anything. And it's hard for us as individuals because when we look inside the Word of God and we see Genesis chapter 1, we see that God gave the earth to man. He told him to conquer it, to subdue it, to have victory over it. And it wasn't just so he could tame animals. That's not what that was. He was giving him power over all the earth. We sold that out to the enemy, but Jesus bought it back for us. And friends, today I want to tell you that we have the right to get up and we call those things that are not as though they were. But we also need to look at the enemy and say, I'm not listening to that garbage. I'm going to lean in and I'm going to hear what the Spirit is saying to me. It's not God's fault. God the whole time was waving his arms saying, 1, 2, 3, eyes on me. He was the one whispering in the still small voice, but my life was so chaotic I couldn't hear it. I'm not saying in closing, I'm not saying that life will never present you anything, but if I'm close to God and I'm in his shadow, there are some things that I will not have to go through if I hear what his Spirit is saying. Because verse 15, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that things will not present themselves to you. But they're nothing more than obstacles that God gives you the power and the strength and the knowledge and the understanding of how to get over them. Because verse 15 in that same Psalms 91, it says that God will be with me in trouble. There may be some times that I find myself in trouble, but that doesn't mean that it is going to overtake me. Have you ever faced something that looked like it was going to overtake you, and then all of a sudden you woke up one day and say, man, that was 2 weeks ago. And he kept his word to me. But he kept his word because, friends, I want to tell you today, I do believe that there's a grace remnant out there that's leaning in and hearing what the Spirit is saying. And there's a lot of things that I can avoid if I'm in his shadow. Amen. Would you stand with me today? If you didn't get anything out of this, you probably at least got 1, 2, 3 eyes on me. But I believe that it's complicated, but yet it's simple. And God's talking, but am I listening? And we can avoid some of those slips if we'll hear what he's saying. So would you bow your heads today? Father, I pray that we would receive this word with grace. God, we've all fell short of your glory. But God, we don't want to live in a lifestyle that just slides into, Lord, I'm just going to submit to falling short of your glory. I want to rise up and be better. If that's a possibility, God, that's what I want to do. I may not be there, but you can show me how. You can show me how to get there. And Father, I pray right now that if our lives are loud and if they're boisterous and if they're busy, that Father, you would be the gardener of our heart. That you would cut down, God, the overgrowth. That you would trim off the dead limbs and the things that are hindering us from hearing you. God, sometimes the loudest things that makes noise is deadness. And Father, I pray right now that in the name of Jesus, that we as part of your body, God, would just lean in and not just hear what you were saying. Jesus said, blessed are those that hear and do what I say. So Father, today I pray and I agree with all of these people here, Father, that we are going to hear what the Spirit is saying to us. And Father, when we hear what you are saying and we do what you say, no evil will befall us. No plague will come nigh my dwelling. God, you will give your angels charge over me that I won't even dash my foot against a stone. And you will be with me in trouble. And Father, we thank you that we have the promises of this word. But God, let us abide in your shadow. Let us make our habitation in you, Lord, that we can hear what you're saying. And when you whisper in that still small voice, God, I can hear and I know what to do. And I'm thankful for the promises inside your word today. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. You may be dismissed.